Good evening, everyone. And you can hear me okay? It is a privilege to be able to be back with you once again. We do thank the Lord for this opportunity. We really do. If you have your Bibles this evening, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We live in a troubled nation, don't we? Things have even, since I was with you the last time, things have really changed even more so. We live in a very violent nation. You've probably seen the same pictures I did. The sad, tragic situation of the children that were killed at that school. And then you probably watched as the weeks went on and the debate over, and there will really be a big debate over different guns to getting rid of and things like that. And I hope you understand where I'm coming from. I don't believe getting rid of the guns is going to change anything. See, it's a heart condition. And they, just Friday evening, I was watching them on the news. They was talking about training teachers to carry weapons. Then it's going to, in my opinion there, it's going to be more dangerous for the children, because then you're going to have the shootout between the teachers and the crooks, and who's in between? The children. Isn't it interesting how things have changed? You know, the Bible says, and by the way, people, you've heard, probably heard somebody say, where was God when this happened? He's still on his throne. John 11:35, I think, sums up how God felt about the situation. Jesus wept. It's heartbreaking to God, but it's not God's fault. You see, payday will always come. It just may not come on Friday. Look at the changes that's happened in our nation. Look at your state of Maryland. Now homosexuals can get married in the state of Maryland, and they're proud of it. And is it any wonder we have the violence in our world today? Haven't we told God that we don't want him in our... And I'm not talking about you specifically, but I'm talking about as a nation. Have we told God that we don't want him in the schools? I'm serious. When I was a kid going to school, if they told me they was going to give the teachers training to carry weapons, I'd say, what for? What for? I mean, for chewing gum? I've had to write those. I must not chew gum. Do you think about it? And do you remember when the Gideons would come in and hand out the Bibles? And do you remember on every school teacher's desk when there'd be a Gideon Bible there? Nobody ashamed of it either. But now they're not allowed. They're not allowed now. But now we need to keep arming our teachers, having armed guards at the school. Our school was never, from the time they unlocked it in the morning until they locked it up at night, it was never, during the day, anybody could have walked in. I don't remember it ever being a problem. Sad, isn't it? And if you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, you find a very sad situation. Oh, it starts off really good. But see, it doesn't end well. It ends very depressing. There's only, let me see here, I think about 23 verses. 23 verses. And it's something how it changes in 23 verses. you have Uzziah, 16 years old. His father dies. His father was the king. 16 years old, he comes to the throne, king of Judah. And he was the king for 52 years. And he started off good. He started off good. In fact, I'd like to read to you, I'm not going to read that chapter to you, but I do want to read to you. Look at, I'm just going to read you a couple of verses there. Look at verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And you know, this nation has known God. This nation has known God. But as a nation, we've turned our back on God. We haven't just drifted. We've run away. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now, this nation, I'm glad that it's not too late. And the reason I know it's not too late, because God's still giving me messages that he wants this nation to turn back to him. That's the answer. That's the solution. It's not getting rid of certain weapons. That just makes people feel better in a bad situation. It's a bad situation. It makes you feel better if you do something. So they'll do something. But unless the hearts of men are changed, it'll never change. It'll never change. It'll be the same. So Uzziah sought the Lord. And apparently Zechariah had a very good impression on him. And you know, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So we're to let our light shine in this darkened world. See, it's not all doom, gloom, and despair. Now, when you read the chapter there about Uzziah, it is depressing because it starts off so good. And God helps him, and he keeps telling what all he did. And God kept helping him, and he kept him getting stronger and just blessed more and more. And God wants to bless his people, doesn't he? And he blessed Uzziah greatly. But then it says over here, if you look over in verse 16, it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And of course, that wasn't his duty to do. It was only for the priest. So he decided that he was going to go into the temple to burn incense. After all, he was the king. And you, I guess he felt he could make up his own rules. But you know, we can't make up our own rules. That's the same way here in Maryland, for example, and other states too, where they have men married men, women married women. God never gave our nation the privilege of making up its own rules. He said it's one man, one woman. And he even put the restriction on how many, didn't he? One man, one woman, till death do us part. Boy, that gives people seizures. But you know what? That's part of the problem. You know why you have men marrying men, women marrying women in the state of Maryland? Because churches didn't stand up for one husband, one wife. I found in our day and time, I found out long years ago, I always marry people the first time, my friends marry them the second time. That's true. That's true. And we can make excuses, we can give all the baloney excuses, but that's the problem of Uzziah. Uzziah thought he was above the law. I'm the king. I've been the king a long time, and God's been blessing me, and I'm going to go into the temple, and I'm going to burn incense. So he goes into the temple to burn incense, and the priest, rightfully so, stands up, and they let him know, Uzziah, you've trespassed. You should not be in here. And boy, he blows the fuse, because he's the king. Who's going to tell the king what to do? And you know, that's our attitude in the nation, isn't it? Isn't that our attitude in our nation? I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it when I want to. And who do I want to? And who's going to tell me not to? And by the way, you think about all the violence and they're going to talk about taking away some guns. And then they'll have that on the news. And then they'll have the advertisement, what they're going to be showing later at night. And by the way, I don't watch that garbage. But the advertisements comes on. And it's all violent. Either violence or sex. And yet, they're discussing, they're watching and all, what they're going to do about this violence. Something, isn't it? So we find that Uzziah, since he's the king, and the priest tells him he's trespassing being there, he gets furious. He's holding the censer in his hand, and as he gets furious with the priest, leprosy breaks out on his forehead. Leprosy breaks out on his forehead, and then the priests, they see the leprosy break out on him, and they get a hold, they start to rush him out of the temple, and the Bible says, yes, and he hurried himself to get out of the temple. And then it's so sad because it says he spends the rest of his life in a separate house by himself because he was a leper, and his son ran the kingdom. Wasn't it terrible? It didn't have to be that way. And you know, in the United States, it don't have to be that way. In the state of Maryland, it doesn't have to be that way. God didn't make it that complicated. He says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Let's look at some more scriptures here. Let's maybe look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, one verse there. Look down at verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now you think about that. You think about that in connection with those school shootings, for an example, since that's fresh on our hearts and minds. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. How many little children, and I don't know about that man that committed that horrible crime, but how many children are raised sitting in front of the television just drinking in all the violence and garbage and then all the video games, all that filth they take in. And what goes in is going to come out. We can make excuses for it, but it's true. Whatever a man soweth, that shall also reap. And it says here, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's look also there. Look here at Psalm 1, while you're close there, look at Psalm 146. Look at verse 5. Happy is he. You like to be happy? I do. I like chocolate chip days. Chocolate chip cookie days. I like those kind of days. Blue skies, white fluffy clouds. It says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Oh, if we just, it's so simple. Just get back to God. Just get back to God. Look at, while you're there, look at Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Because I told you, it was very depressing when you read 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Look at chapter 6 of Isaiah. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah is saying this. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train, his long flowing gowns, his robes filled the temple. So he's seen God on his throne in this vision. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And notice what these angelic beings said. One cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I love that. I really love that. Because it said the same year Uzziah died. That's depressing. But he said, I seen the Lord high and lifted up. And he says these angelic beings was crying, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. I think so many times when I talk about this, about the whole earth being full of God's glory, there's one little incident that happened years ago in the rescue mission. By the way, I still go to the rescue mission. My wife and I go there on Sunday. We just left there to come here this evening. We go to the mission on Sunday and Wednesday, and so we thank the Lord for that privilege still being able to go there. But years ago, my wife and I were on staff there at the mission, I had another fellow staff member come in one day, and he told me, he said, the devil's really in this place. And it really surprised me because I was having such a good day. I never forgot that, because here I thought the Lord was in the place. And you know, he still is. He still is. All the 40 years I've been involved in the mission, the Lord's still there. It's sort of like my radio at the house. If you'd go to my house and turn on the radio, it would immediately come on to WDAC Lancaster Christian Station. Now, I don't have a Christian radio. It's just tuned in to that station. And you know, as for you, where you and I, we can either look at just always doom, gloom, and despair, or we can be tuned in, seeing God everywhere. See, yes, I don't deny that we have plenty of problems in our generation. Horrible problems that we brought on ourselves. As a nation, we brought it on ourselves. We can't blame God. But I'm glad that God is still on the throne. I'm so glad that we can still touch God. I'm so glad that we can start our mornings off. And I encourage you to start your morning off with prayer and Bible reading every day. Don't tell me you're too busy. I've had people over the years tell me all kinds of reasons they can't. I'd rather tell all the reasons I can. Never too busy. No, always start your day off with prayer and in the Word of God. And you know what? You're going to see God everywhere. You know, I said, you know, the Word of God, it's sort of like the Bible tells us who you are in Christ Jesus. But how do you see yourself? I have some people that tell me they're just a sinner saved by grace. And I tell them I'm not. I was a sinner saved by grace. You don't hear me singing that song or nothing. I don't sing I'm a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner saved by grace. But praise the Lord, one day, July 5th, 1970, I knelt down on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life. And now I'm a saint. Now I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm an heir to the throne because of Jesus. An heir to the kingdom because of Jesus. I'm not just a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner. I was a sheep gone astray, but I'm glad I met the Master. I met the shepherd of the sheep. I met the door. He's the door to the sheep. He's our Savior. And you ask what this nation needs. It just simply needs to get... It's not complicated. We're the ones that complicate it. We fight over things. And it's so simple. Just repent and turn to God. Didn't he say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and do cleanse us from what? From all unrighteousness. And so Isaiah said, that same year, that as depressing as it was that Uzziah died of leprosy, he said, the same year, I seen the Lord in a vision. I seen the Lord high and lifted up in his long flowing gown, just filled the temple. And then he goes on and says here, in fact, it says in verse 4, the doors, the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke, filled with the presence and power of God. Then said I, woe is me. Isaiah said, woe is me. for I am undone. Now notice what he says. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. Now, do I believe he was a filthy talking person? No. I believe Isaiah was a man of God. At this time, he was a man of God. But you know what? Why did he say that? Because he had come in the presence of God. And you know, the closer you get to God, the more you see your flaws. And you know what? We all have flaws. When you're perfect, look around. The streets will be gold there. But in the meantime, while you still have breath in your body, and while I have breath in my body, the Lord is, John chapter 15, he said he's still pruning and trimming on us to make us more fruitful. He always is looking for us to be more fruitful. You know, a good gardener, there's a lot of gardeners. Some are not good. This is a time of year for gardeners. Isn't this a time of year for gardeners? Oh my, yes. I don't get any seed catalogs anymore now, but this was a time of year when seed catalogs would come out. And I would go down and sit by the wood-burning stove and look at all my seed catalogs. But you know, I learned something over the years. I learned that some people that's wintertime gardeners, they make all these plans and they don't follow through when the weeds come up. Ah, but a good gardener will plan, but then when the weeds come up, he'll work on the weeds, won't he? You think about that. So, almost lost my notes. That'd be terrible. Look here once what it said. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He said to reason, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So what's the Lord doing to Isaiah? He's showing him things in his life that can be changed. And that's just like I said, a gardener, a good gardener, he will try to help his garden to be more fruitful. The fruit trees, the vines, whatever it is, to be more fruitful. And that's what God does to you and I. That's what he was going to do to Isaiah. He was going to cleanse him so he'd be more useful in the kingdom of God. And that's what God wants to do to you and I. He wants us to be more fruitful than we've ever been before. He prunes and trims on us to make us more like him. Notice there, he said, when he said, I'm undone, notice what happens in this vision. Then flew one of the seraphims, verse 6, unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. You're clean, Isaiah. Then notice what God says. Also I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. He was ready for service because he had been cleansed. So you and I can stay clean even though we live in a sinful world. We live in a sinful world. And we can pray. And I do encourage you to pray for your leaders of this nation. Pray that their hearts will be turned to God and they can see the real needs of our nation. Let's maybe also there, while you're there, let's maybe look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians. Chapter 1, look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the good work that the Lord started in your life, he wants to complete. Now see, Uzziah let God work in his life for a period of time. I'm sure it was for years. It doesn't say the length of time he served God. But since he had a reign of 52 years, it was probably years that he served God before he went astray. Pride took over. But the Bible lets us know that God, what He starts in our lives, He wants to finish. It says, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, when I see the situations happening in our nation, and they are very tragic situations in our nation, and if you're like me, you don't know what's going to happen next, because you think you've heard of everything, and then something else happens. And it's because of the sins of our nation. And it's because of the seeds that's been sown for years. Okay, I'm a person, for example, that I like for my flower beds at the house to be weed-free. And my wife knows I really work on keeping them weed-free. I go through my flower beds when and almost daring a weed to come up. I like to really keep them weed-free. I like the flowers. I want to have flowers, not flowers and weeds. And I was the same way, really, basically, when I had a garden. And now my gardening consists of about 4 tomato plants as far as gardening. But anyway, I like to keep things weed-free. But now suppose, and I wouldn't think of doing this, but suppose you would see me going around and sprinkling some kind of seeds in my flower bed, and you would ask me, what is that? And I would tell you, that's thistles. Well, if I do that, well, first, you're not going to see, if I sow the thistle seed, you're not going to see the results from that right away. But in the process of time, it shouldn't shock me if I have thistles to pull out, right? Because I've been sowing the seed. And now I know it's a silly, simple illustration, but you know, we are foolish as a nation. We think we can sow all these wicked seeds and then be shocked when the seeds come up, when they flourish. And if you'll look here, and look back in Galatians, just for example. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Look here in Galatians chapter 6, just 7 through 10. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall also reap. Let's just stop there a moment. Whatever we sow, we'll reap. So if we sow violence, we're going to reap violence. Think of that. Just hold your place there for a moment. And let's go back a couple weeks ago, several weeks ago, when this shooting took place in the school. That Sunday, when I went into church, in the front of the church, they had a table there and 26 candles on that table. Without anybody telling you, you knew what they were there for. One to represent each person that got killed at that school, including the teachers and all, that day. 20 children, 20 little children, and then the teachers. And wasn't that sad the coming week when you started seeing the funerals? And you'd see the little pictures of those little children. Some of them would have their little teeth, because they was that age, have their little teeth missing in front. And you think about how their gifts, well, you can be sure their gifts were already bought for Christmas. Wasn't that tragic? Very tragic. Very tragic. And the words can't even explain how tragic that was. And it didn't have to be. It didn't have to be. If somebody had have taken time from the time that man that done the shooting was a child and taught him the ways of the Lord instead of the ways of the world, the story would have been different. The story would have been different. And as I sat there and looked at those 26 candles. I just sat there and looked at those candles glowing there, knowing what they were representing. And I thought to myself, 20 children and 6 adults through a violent act. And it was right for our church to have the 26 candles. But then I thought, while I was sitting there, I thought of the 1.5 million unborn babies in America in the past year 1.5 million innocent babies that was murdered. If you would have had all their candles there with that 26, we wouldn't be able to get into the church. Ah. Now do you see why we have those shootings and all? Because for years we've been teaching children. Children's growing up thinking abortion is just a choice for a woman to make. And the Bible says those lives, I believe Jesus weeps over every aborted baby as much as he does over those ones that were shot. You think about it. There is time for change in our nation, isn't it? We need to pray until there's a change. Think of that. Let's just look at a couple more thoughts here. But let's finish reading there in Galatians chapter 6. We never finished reading that. He said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption." It's just that way. "But he that's," the good news is, "but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So keep sowing the good seed. Just like sowing the evil seed brings forth evil results, sowing the good seed brings forth good results. I want to encourage you to keep sowing the good seed. Every opportunity you have, you sow the good seed. "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." We all know what Genesis, I'm not going to turn there, but Genesis chapter 8, 22, what does it say? "While the earth remaineth," that means as long as the earth is here, "while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest." He said, as long as the earth remains, there's a seed time and there's a harvest. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." So whatever seeds we're sowing, whether they're good or bad, they're going to come forth. And that's what our nation is reaping now. All the seeds that we've been sowing of the violence and corruption and things, and we're sowing it. But the positive thing is you and I can keep, in the church, the body of Christ, can keep sowing the good seeds of the gospel, and it has a result too, and that's for sure. So he wants us not to be weary in our well-doing. He says, in due season, you will reap if you faint not. So what should we do? One thing, we need to guard our heart, don't we? We need to guard our hearts and then pray for others. Oh, let's look there real quick. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Close by there. Look here at just verses 3 through 5. Because we have weapons too. Notice what it says. "For though we walk in the flesh," verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10, "for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Okay, for the believers, and I don't mean believers can't have guns, that's what I'm saying. He's just saying our weapons are not guns and knives. But we do have weapons. We do have weapons. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, one of the great weapons we have is prayer. Prayer is powerful. To see how powerful prayer is, just think how the enemy tries to keep you from praying. I had a pastor just this morning was saying about how the enemy always try to intervene when they're praying. So many interferences, just get up early. I'm retired, so I don't get up till 2 o'clock in the mornings now. Now, don't ever feel sorry for me. I love doing it. I love my afternoon nap too. But I'm just trying to encourage you. You can be very busy. Because that's the main thing that people tell me, really, over the years. The main thing that people tell me why they can't pray much is because they say they're just so busy. Well, get up before the busyness starts. Just get up. I doubt if you get very many phone calls then. But you know, whatever time, if you get up 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, get up just before you have to get up, I'll put it that way. Some extra time, and you know what? God will bless you for it. God will bless you for it. Guarantee He will. Guarantee He will. Because that's one of the weapons you have. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not earthly. But mighty. They are mighty. Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All those thoughts, just cast them aside if they're not pleasing to God, and keep what is good. Let's look at just one more thought here before we close. Calling unto God. That's what we need to do, isn't it? See, it's not enough for you and I just to disagree with our politicians, to feel bad about all the corruption that's going on in our world and the violence, and we should feel bad about all those things, but we can do something positive. We can call on the Lord. The Lord says, call unto me. The nation of Israel was in great trouble when that verse came forth. They were in great trouble, and yet God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. See, they can be a bright future for this nation. Don't give up on this nation. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. And when things are dark and it looks like doom, gloom, and despair, anybody watch the Ravens game last night? You say, what does that have to do with it? It's got a lot to do with it. Anybody watch it? I didn't do it. Now, you know I had to be interested in it because I went past my bedtime to watch it. When it went into overtime. But did you give up on it a couple times there? I did. I told my wife, I said, that's it. That's it. They're not going to win now. That's it for this year. And then they came back again. Well, that's the way the enemy wants to stop you. He wants to make you see all the doom, gloom, and despair. But he don't want to see you to see any hope for our nation. But let me tell you, God is still on the throne. God is still high and lifted up. And if you'll call on him, he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Let us stand for prayer. We may close a little different than you're used to, but let us just stand for prayer. And I want to encourage you in this closing prayer. Just ask God to cleanse your heart. I'm asking him to cleanse my heart afresh and anew. But ask him, I encourage you to ask him to just give you a fresh vision for this nation, and what God can do in it. In this year, not 20 years from now, but this year. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you, first of all, in Jesus' name, to forgive me for every sin. Cleanse my heart in the blood of Jesus. Just fill me full to overflowing with your Spirit. And I pray that for everyone here, that you just fill their cup full of your Spirit. Bless them in a special way. And yes, Lord, there is great troubles in our nation. Everywhere we turn, there's troubles. But we serve a God that's greater than our troubles. We serve a God that is still on the throne. And we still have a God that tells us to call on him, and you'll show us great and mighty things. And Lord, I pray this year, 2013, I pray you'll do a mighty work, first of all, in our hearts and lives, and in our community, in our state, and in our nation, But may it start in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Have a good week.